40 years, last November, I started preaching the gospel. And being a pastor as many years as I have, I've only changed my sermon once or twice in 40 years. But my sermon today, I changed from originally what I wrote. Usually I write my sermons a couple of weeks in advance, so I'm prepared and studied up on it. But God has been touching my heart because of the things that are going on. And I said, you know, the men and women of my church need to hear some things about God and about some things that will encourage them and challenge them, even though I believe no matter what topic you preach on, God's Word is God's Word. But I want to preach something a little different today than what I originally planned to preach to you in the beginning of the week. So if you have your bulletins, does anyone need a bulletin? Maybe you came into the church and you didn't receive one. If you need one, just raise your hand. And I hurriedly wrote out what I wanted to write, because I've been thinking about it for 3 days before yesterday, but I wrote it out yesterday. Sent out the information to the team of people who work in the sound booth, and also for the Bible translation into Spanish, and a sermon that I think that we as God's people need to hear. This morning, I'd like to read to you from one of the great psalms in the entire Book of Psalms, and that's Psalm 91. All the verses will be projected on the screen, and I pray that what will be said today will be a help to you in your life of where you're at and where we're at as Christians, but also as Americans. So let me begin reading in verse 1. God's word says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler." And the Bible says, surely He will... Hold on one moment. I went ahead here in this scripture here, verse. Excuse me. I'm not the greatest of electronics. So what I'm going to do is turn to my Bible right now and get back over here. Okay. Verse 3, "Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers. Under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for me by the terror by night, nor for the hour that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thy eyes shall they behold and see the reward of the wicked." Okay, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Let's pray that God will bless today. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you as a congregation of men and women of faith. We come today, Lord, because we need to hear from you. Lord, we know that we're just human beings, but we have a Father who loves us, a God Father who's watching over us, a Father that cares very much about each one of us here. And I pray that what will be said today would help people today for the rest of the week. And Lord, that you would help us as we are living testimonies of what faith really is all about. Lord, we are your people. We are your children. We are in your hands. We pray for our nation. We know this is a national day of prayer that the president called for. And we are praying, Lord. We care about our fellow citizens and fellow people in this country, our neighbors, who may not have faith, that through this, Lord, that they may come to know what real faith in Christ is all about. We pray for those that are sick right now. We pray for your healing hand. And we pray for protection for our families and for our church family here. We're asking you to bless today and fill us with your spirit, Lord. Give us what we need so that we can face whatever we're going to face, not with the wisdom of men, but the wisdom of God. Bless us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today I want to speak about faith and confidence in God during the time of the troubling crisis in our country and in the world. Right now, we are facing a global pandemic, and many people are going to pieces about this, and I'm sure that you all know about it, because if not, just go to the food store and watching how people are acting and reacting. Now, depression, pain, panic, is seen in the grocery stores. People acting out of sorts, listening to the 24/7 news cycle, can stir you up with fear and anxiety. But Psalm 91 is an expression of the child of God's confidence in God's protection and in his deliverance. The big problem today is that people are looking to the problem and not looking to the problem solver, and that is God. Psalm 91 is an expression of God's confidence in divine protection and divine deliverance. And let us not have fear overwhelm us. So this morning, what I want to preach to you about is my hiding place. Do you remember when you were a small child? Did you ever get to the point where either you wanted to be by yourself or you were afraid of something and you found that little hiding place? Sometimes I can remember my one daughter hiding in the closet, or actually just falling asleep in the closet. And another time falling asleep under beds. And you know, little kids do things like that. And then there are some who have such great fear because of things going on in their family that they do things like that. But I want to preach to you about my hiding place. The writer of this psalm here, no one knows for sure, but many people believe it was Moses who wrote Psalm 90. And if it wasn't him, it was King David. But whatever, whoever wrote it, it was inspired by the Holy Ghost. So if you're ready with your pens, I want to give you a few things about the Lord in the time of crisis. Okay? Number one, the Lord is my protector. In Psalm 91, verse 1, I would like you to notice in verse 1 what the Bible says here about my Lord, the protector. It says in Psalm 91, verse 1, it says here, in verse 1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Why should we go to God for our protection? Or I should say, who do we go for God our protection? I believe you use common sense. They said in the news, and the person you want to listen to, I saw my doctor this last Monday, my cardiologist. And I asked him, what is your take about this virus? And he told me, as a doctor, and he told me the ones most susceptible are people who are elderly and have underlying conditions. But he said that give me some information. He says, listen, if you're going to listen to anybody, listen to the CDC director. And what he says, you can take that as the most authoritative information that a doctor can give you. You go on TV, you hear one person saying one thing, you hear another person saying another thing. Sometimes it's contradictory. Well, who should we go for our protection? Use common sense. Wash your hands. Someone is sick, stay away from them. If you're sick, don't come to church, don't go to work, stay home. That's common sense, and I believe you should. But who should we go to for protection? The verse 1 says, the Most High God. Do you think this pandemic sneaked up on God? It didn't sneak up on God at all. The Bible says right over here in Psalm 5, verse 11. Psalm 5, verse 11, King David wrote this psalm, and he said these words in verse 11. He said here that, but let those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defended them. And let them also that love thy name, okay, be joyful in thee. 1 John 5:18 says, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God, that means if you're born again of God, who keeps you? God will keep you. You know, there was a story of a believer. His name was Frederick Nolan, and he was fleeing from his enemies during a time of persecution in North Africa. He was being pursued by them, and over the hill and valley, with no place to hide, he fell exhausted in a wayside cave, expecting the enemies to find him soon. Awaiting his death, he saw a spider weaving a web over the entrance of the cave. And within minutes, this little bug had woven a beautiful web across the mouth of the cave. The pursuers arrived and wondered if Nolan was hiding inside the cave. But once they saw the unbroken, unmangled piece of art of the web by the spider, they thought it was impossible for him to have entered the cave without dismantling the web. Therefore, they went on. And having escaped, Nolan burst out in exhaustion. He burst out and he exclaimed that he said this: where God is, a spider's web is like a wall. Where God is not, a wall is like a spider's web. The Lord is my protector. That is from what we're going through now or anything that may face in your life. God is our protector. I'd like you to notice in number two. If you notice in number two, the Lord is my place of safety. In verse 2, the Bible says, I will say to the Lord, He's my refuge and my fortress, my God, and Him will I trust. In God there is safety. There are trials and temptations that seem so big in our lives. And it seems so much for us, but we can always fly to God, who is our place of safety. God is our refuge, and He is our fortress. Let me give you a couple of verses of scripture for this. The Bible teaches in the book of Proverbs, chapter 18, verse 10. Take a look at this verse here for a minute. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. We're safe in God. Look at the next verse. Proverbs 29, verse 25. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso put his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Okay? Fear of man always brings a snare. When you're afraid, we'll always get tripped up. But when we put our trust in the Lord, we are going to be safe. So we understand that trusting in God in unusual situations, okay? And right now we are in an unusual situation in our country. And the only way to be safe is put our trust in God. And if we put our trust in God, God will give us the grace to deal with anything that we can face. But look at the unsaved. What about people who don't have any faith in God? Look at the reactions that are going on. The hysteria. The over-the-top reactions. Because they don't have faith in God. But we're men and women who believe that God is in control of things. We also believe that God can take care of us. It doesn't mean that we're going to be immune to problems. Let's face it. If anybody here would, any person here who knows God for any length of time, will say, listen, I trust God, but I've had my problems. I think we all have. We're not immune to it. Whether it be health problems, situations that are spiritual, situations that are financial, we all have problems. It's where do we run to? Well, the Bible says the righteous run to God in times such as this. And let me give you the third one. The Lord is my deliverer. The Lord is my deliverer. In verse 3, He says, surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome, look at the wording, pestilence. Now, what does the word pestilence mean? The word pestilence means deadly infectious diseases. That's exactly what the word means. Okay, let's take a look at the word again. Surely He can deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence, deadly diseases. And we've seen diseases before. This earth has been hit by many different things over the years, okay? And we're not going to go on a list of names of different diseases that the earth has encountered over these generations. But I want to tell you something else here. When I look at news and facts and things like this, I'm always thinking about, is there anything in the Bible speaking about these things? The Bible mentions pestilence. That's true. But the Bible also teaches that during the tribulation period, there's going to be pestilence or deadly diseases over the entire earth. Let me give you an example. In Luke chapter 21, verse 11, Jesus was speaking in this chapter, in the book of Luke, about the time before His return to the earth. And it says here, this is what His words are, and great earthquakes shall be in divers, that means many places, and famines and pestilences, and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. Will there be signs on the earth when the Lord Jesus is going to return? The Bible says yes. There will be famines. There will be earthquakes in many places. But there will be pestilence. There will be deadly infectious diseases. Look what Jesus said when He preached in Matthew 24. And as He sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto Him privately saying, tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming at the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto him, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. The Bible teaches that there will be deadly diseases and infectious diseases when Jesus returns. You say, Pastor, are we in the tribulation? Of course, we are not. The tribulation period will not start until God's people, the church, are raptured and taken out. But when it comes to a woman giving birth, there's always birth pains that take place before the actual delivery. What we're seeing is birth pains. Okay, there are things that are going on that are preludes to what is going to take place. So what do I see in this? I can see an opportunity here for us to see that God is preparing and getting ready to rapture his church. When is that going to take place? No man knows the hour or the time, and none of us do. But the Bible teaches that we can learn from this, that this is one problem, but there are many more problems to come that are going to be along these lines. Now, let's just talk about it for a minute. In the book of Revelation, you can write this down, chapter 6, are the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Okay? In the book of Revelation, chapter 6, speaking about the four horsemen of the apocalypse, and we're going to be preaching about that sometime later in the year. And we're teaching on this next Sunday. We're going to be talking about the four horsemen of the apocalypse in the small groups. But the Bible teaches about pestilence in there. And also Revelation chapter 9 talks about diseases that are going to sweep the world. Diseases out of animals and insects and things like that, which a lot of diseases are going on today because of that. Okay, so what does it keep telling you? That the Bible teaches that these things were predicted by God that will come and will spread throughout the entire world. And if you know Christ as your personal Savior, thank God that you will not see the full extent of this. Why? Because we're going to be raptured. We're going to be taken out of this world. And God is going to take his people home to be with him. But those that do not know Christ are going to face a living hell on earth for those 7 years. There is the pestilence of error. We live in a time where there's so much error going on. Lies that are going on about God. Lies about how to get to heaven. Lies about who the God's people are. So we see there's a pestilence of error in our land. And what we can do is have communion with God using his word as the guidebook. There's also the pestilence of sin. We are safe by walking with God. The safest thing you can do is walk with God. Okay? The most dangerous thing is to walk away from God and don't do God's will. And then, of course, there's the pestilence of disease. And our faith wins and trusting in God. Are we immune to disease? No. We're not immune to disease because you have faith in God. It is very possible that any one of us can get sick from anything. There are people here, including myself, that might have been healthy just a few years ago. But because of a few things that come up in our bodies or whatever, we're sick. And we get sick and get ill. And eventually, if Jesus is tarried, we're all going to die. But we don't live for death. We live for life. And we live for the Lord Jesus returning, which gives us a blessed hope. The Bible says in Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing of that great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So number 3, the Lord is my deliverer. He can deliver us. Number 4, and before I get to number 4, let me just want to make a mention of one more thing. As believers, we have no grounds to be afraid all the time, okay, or to feel dejected. We draw close to God, and nothing can crush him, no matter what you face in your life. God is eternal, he's omnipotent, he's omniscient, he's our refuge, he's our deliverer, he's our fortress. So we have nothing to be dejected about, okay, because we know who we believe. And the Apostle Paul said that, as well as the Apostle John, that we know whom we believe, and I am persuaded that he's able to keep me against that day. One more thing, or two more things. The Lord is my shelter. The Lord is my shelter. Look what the writer says, the Holy Spirit says in verse 4. He shall cover thee with feathers, and under his wings thou shalt trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. As a hen covers her chicks, God covers us. As a hen covers his chick, so God is willing to cover us and to protect us. You know, there was an article in the National Geographic several years ago, and it gave a story of a penetrating picture of God's wings. After a forest fire in Yellowstone National Park, forest rangers began their trek up a mountain to assess the damage of the inferno. One ranger found a bird literally petrified in ashes, perched statuously on the ground at the base of a tree. Somewhat sickened by the sight, he knocked over the bird with a stick, and when he struck it, three tiny chicks scurried out from under the wings of their dead mother. The loving mother, keenly aware of the impending disaster, had carried her little brood of birds, her chicks, under her wings to the base of the tree, and she protected them while the fire killed her. Let's take a look at that verse again. He, meaning God, shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings thou shalt trust. His truth shall make thy shield and thy buckler. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. What is his truth? God's promises. God has promised us in this book to watch over us. Now, I'd like to read to you Psalm 28, verse 7. It's not on the screen because I mistyped, okay? And it's not on the screen. Let me read to you Psalm 28, verse 7. If you're taking notes, correct yourself. It's not correct the paper. It's not 26, 28. But let me read to you Psalm 28, verse 7. The Bible says here in verse 7, he says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiced, and with my song will I praise him." The writer of the psalm said over here, "My God is my strength. God is my shield. He protects me, and I trust in him. And I rejoice, and I sing unto God." Singing is a wonderful thing, isn't it? When you're able to sing songs of praise unto God, what it does to your heart. Okay, let me give you another verse of scripture. Psalm 84, verse 11. "For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." God is like a shield to us. And look at Colossians 3:3. "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." The Bible says that the old you has died, and now we're in Jesus Christ, and Christ is in the very hand of God. The protection of God is upon us and watching over us. So we understand that the Lord is our shelter. He's our shelter. Do the things they tell you. Wash your hands, do all that. That's common sense. That's what we should do. But understand that you can't put your trust solely in medical care to protect you. You need to have trust in God. And let me give you one more thing. Actually, it's two, but I'll give you two things. The Lord is my peace. Amen. You want to write that down. The Lord is my peace. Psalm 95, verses 5 through 6. Look what he says here. "Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor the pestilence," remember what I told you what the pestilence was, "nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasted at noonday." The Bible says, do not be afraid. You do realize that when you're afraid and you're full of anxiety, that your immune system goes down?
Yes.
You're more open to get sick. And I'm not just talking about the coronavirus. I'm talking about anything. If you're a worrywart, and you worry a lot, and you have a lot of anxiety, your immune system goes down, and you're more able to contract something, okay, because your immune system is weak. But the Bible says here, don't be afraid by the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by the day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes a new time. Look at Isaiah. Look at this verse here, verses 3 and 4. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed in thee, because thou trusted in thee. Trusting in the Lord forever, for the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." Amen. Trust in God, and God will give you peace in your heart to deal with anything that comes your way. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 3:16, look at this verse. "Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all." The Lord of peace, and he is the God of peace. Amen. Peace within your hearts. Peace giving you the things that you need so that you can function in life. And one more thought. The Lord is my confidence. The Lord is my confidence. Wait a minute, we've got ahead of myself again. Okay. John 14:27. Sorry, Amber. I usually have these really well advanced, but because of the time of writing of this, I got ahead of myself. Forgive me. Look what Jesus said in John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You know the world's idea of peace is? Peace is when you have no troubles. With all honesty, is there anybody here who has never has troubles? Never has a problem? Never has a worry? Well, we don't have a lot of people here today, but I didn't see one person raise their hand and say, I never have problems. Let me read what Jesus said. Peace I leave with you. Peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Look at John 16:33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good comfort. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And Jesus Christ can give you peace. You know, in John chapter 14, after Jesus told them in John 13 that he was leaving them, fear began to grip them. And in John chapter 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus Christ offers peace to everyone who would look to him, no matter what situation we may be facing in this life. For we know whom we believe, and God has a home for us in heaven. But he has peace to guide us and direct us in this life. Let me close with this one more point. I finally got the last point here, finally. The Lord is my confidence. The Lord is my confidence. Verse 7. The Bible says, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thy eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil before thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. Thou shalt bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. Make Jesus Christ your habitation. If you're going to hide somewhere, hide in God. Amen. Hide in God and carry out the responsibilities you have in life. If you're a Christian, I guarantee you, whether it's in your family or in your neighborhood or on your job, someone's going to bring up this coronavirus. What should our reaction be? Our reaction should be to be able to instill to them or give them the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is a time for us as Christians to start witnessing. Why do you have the faith that you have? Is because what Jesus did for you at the cross of Calvary. Jesus can now live inside your heart. And we have probably one of the great opportunities to be able to share our faith with people who have never heard before. I received an email Monday from Italy. One of our missionaries, Brother Peppel, and his wife and children are in Milan, Italy. He sent a note to me and the supporting churches, urgent request, pray for them. They're right there in Milan, and Milan is another country. Italy is a country that really is behind China, I think, have the most cases of the coronavirus. And the whole country is shut down. 65 million, 70 million people. Everything shut down. And he said, please pray for us. We're not going anywhere. We're staying here. And I wrote him a note. I said, Brother Pethel, we're praying for you. We're praying for you that God protect your wife and children. But I said, Brother Pethel, this is such a great opportunity for the Italian people to hear about Jesus Christ, for you to share your faith. And I sent it off to him. And he sent it back. Pastor Milano, thank you for sending that note. That's exactly what we're planning on doing. We're going to share our faith with the Italian people. Let's face it. Many people are running to churches. They offer no hope. Okay? I'm a former Roman Catholic. An altar boy and everything else. They offer no hope, folks. If you've ever gone to a Catholic funeral, it's one of the saddest things in all the world. If you listen what the priest usually says. And every single Sunday, there's somebody like him getting up and offering something else other than Jesus Christ and eternal life. I told Brother Pethel, we're praying for you. And he said, thank you, Pastor. We're planning to be able to speak to our neighbors and our friends and the people around and tell them the truth about Jesus Christ and that he can give them everlasting life. And I think this is a time for you and me to be able to share our faith with friends and with co-workers or whatever, neighbors, whatever it may be, and family. Also, number two, if you're not right with God, I think this is the time for Christians to get closer to God. We need to get closer to Jesus Christ as a church and as Christianity throughout our country. Okay, we have circus Christianity. People that say they're Christians, they talk about it and everything, but deep down inside, they have a very strained relationship with God, and it shows by the way they react. If you know Christ as your Savior, do not overreact. Okay, in other words, don't run across the street over there and buy 250 rolls of toilet paper. Okay, that's exactly what's going on here. Did anybody see the pictures of Costco? Okay, I saw a picture of Costco. Long lines of people outside with their shopping carts waiting to get in. And I understand being prepared. I think he should be. But not to the point of hysteria what's going on. The reason why we are who we are is because of who we believe in. So as I close this sermon this morning, I'm going to ask you to pray for your family, pray for your church, pray for people that you care about to be saved and have revival. The president designated today as a day of national prayer. And I thank God he said that. Because there's some things medical science can do, but there's some things that only God can do. So I pray these words here from the book of Psalms 91 will be an encouragement and a strength to you as we face the crisis of today. Let's bow our heads in prayer. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, today's message is a message to offer hope and confidence in God. We are men and women of faith. In other words, we believe that God is God and that he knows exactly what's going on here. Now, with our heads bowed and eyes closed, I was wondering if there anyone here today would raise your hand and say, Pastor Milano, I don't know Jesus Christ as my Savior. Would you pray for me, please? I don't know him as my Savior. Is there anyone like that? Is there anyone like that? I believe most of the people that are here today know Christ. I know most of you, almost all of you I know, over years and over time. Let me ask this question to you. Did God speak to your heart today? With our heads bowed, eyes closed, I was wondering if you could raise your hand and say, Pastor, the word of God today is precious to me. I needed to hear it for myself to be the man or woman that God wants me to be. Could you raise your hands, please? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Since this is a day of prayer, I would like to give some time here for you to pray. Pray for your family. Pray for your family. Pray that God would watch over you and protect you. Pray also for people that don't know Jesus. We know Jesus personally, and they need to know him. If you're not as close to God as you think you should be, I want you to ask God to forgive you and to pray that God would help you to draw closer to him, to encounter whatever we have to face tomorrow. Tomorrow may never come, folks. Tomorrow may never come. Why don't we just give a few minutes here for prayer, because we're going to ask our church to pray right now, and then I'm going to close in prayer. So let me give a few minutes to you right in the pew. Start praying for the United States and other countries of the world too. We're not the only ones. We got missionaries in China, folks. We got missionaries in different places of the world that are really, really having very difficult times and a lot worse than what we are doing. So let's just give a few minutes to pray, because God will always hear our prayers if we're willing to come to Him. Heavenly Father, we're so glad that we have a God who protects us and watches over us. And God, when there's times we want to just plain hide, we can hide in You. We know that, Lord, You're like a mother. You watch over us, and You protect us, You feed us. And God, You're also a Father. You direct and You lead and guide too. And we come to You, Lord, as people of faith. And we say, God, we trust You. And Lord, we just trusting You right now. We're praying for America. help America. Help her, Lord. She's so fallen away from you a long time ago. And we're praying that, God, that you would use this circumstance to bring many people to know Jesus personally. We're praying for the countries of the world. Lord, we're praying for them too, Lord. Lord, we're praying for our missionaries that are scattered all through the world, Lord. On 6 different continents, we have missionaries. And Lord, for their families, I pray for protection for them. And I'm praying that you would just watch over them, that they may be able to tell others about Jesus. Lord, we know you're coming back, Lord Jesus. We don't know the day nor the hour. We don't. But Lord, we're confident that, God, that you would protect us until that hour, until you come and return. Be with Silver Lake Baptist Church. Just bless us, Father. We live in an area, Essex County, where so many people don't know you. And Lord, I'm just praying that, God, that you'd open opportunities for us to tell our family members about Christ and offer our family members hope and confidence in God. We're praying that, God, you meet all the needs of our families. We pray if anyone loses their job, Lord, that in the church, Lord, that because their vices are closing or whatever it may be, we're praying that God would offer hope and help them. We're just praying that you protect us as we go home. And Lord, please be with us. Pray for those that are overwhelmed with anxiety, that are having problems mentally and emotionally because of what's going on. Please meet the needs there. Be with our president and the leaders of our Congress, the leaders of this state. Lord, help them. They're only human beings, Lord. Even at their best, Lord, they're still just flawed human beings. Just help them as they direct and lead this country to be able to get the help that we need. So, Lord, we thank you, Father. Thank you for allowing our church to be open today. And thank you, Father, for the men and women that are able to be here right now. We're just praying that you bless them. So please watch over us now. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Just a few announcements here today. This Wednesday, we're having a special prayer meeting. I'm going to be back Wednesday speaking. And this Wednesday, I'll be speaking about something that will be an encouragement and a help in your faith.